if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is staying sane and happy in insane and unhappy situations. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and sink like a rock deep down inside the ocean of your consciousness. That's it. Dive deep. Deep into that place that is absolutely untouched by anything at all. Nothing can touch that place deep within. Some of you just went right there. Isn't that amazing how easy it is? When someone gives us simply the directive and the permission, I mean, we could do that for ourselves, but somehow we don't often remember that that place is available. So if some of you are tuning in a little late, let's do it again for their benefit. Take a deep breath. And sink like a rock deep down inside the ocean of your immortal being. It's inside you. Always has been. Always will be. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am that I am. Be still and know that I am. Have you ever paused and thought about what this statement from the Bible actually means? Have you ever contemplated it deeply? Or ever considered what it means to you personally? Well, probably not. We're so used to hearing it that probably like many things that we hear a lot, We just think, oh, that's nice. And then we move on to what's more real for us than some abstract statement in an ancient book written long ago by someone else. Oh, excuse me, some people think that was God that said that. And that's one way you could interpret it, isn't it? But every single true statement has multiple levels in which it could be taken and understood depending on the level of consciousness that a person is in. And many of us are just too busy with life that's happening and all the craziness to want to take the time to really go deeply into these ancient teachings. They're more into what's here and now, and how am I going to stay sane and happy in the midst of this insanity, these unhappy situations, these calamities, these uncertainties that are upon my doorstep almost every day, or coming at me through the news. But the first two words, be still, may be the most important keys to everything that you would know and be. They may be the most important keys to apply to oneself personally. Be still. We may discover that in being still, our knowing, our inner knowing, suddenly becomes present. You might ask, well, our knowing about what? Well, for one thing, knowing that I am. That I am. I exist. I'm alive. I'm here. I'm now. So what, one might say? Well, be still. Very still. And you'll consciously experience your own existence. That I am, that is, beyond your body, beyond your busy mind chatter. There is an isness that is that which is. So be still is the divine directive for you to know that I am. That is your God self. That part that remains absolutely safe, untouched, unaffected by anything. Anything without. So the next time you feel overwhelmed with all that's going on around you, in the world, in whatever is demanding your attention, just stop. Take a deep breath. Dive like a rock deep down into yourself and simply be still. Allow your mind to settle down. Om Shanti. Be at peace, mind. With all those thoughts and worries and concerns, the mind becomes like an agitated jug of muddy water. So be still and allow that muddy sediment to settle. When your mind is still and quiet, you'll experience clarity, which simply becomes present. Your inner knowing becomes present. Both clarity and inner knowing are always present within your consciousness. It's the mental and emotional agitation that obscures that. That's all. Use that image of the muddy jug and see the sediment of your agitations settle to the bottom. And see the clarity that's present then, represented by the clear water. Sai Baba said something that I thought was very apropos to our evening. He said, just be quiet and enjoy the show. Just be quiet and enjoy the show. What show? This is Maya, the whole play of consciousness and everything you see in the news and read in the newspapers and watch playing out around you in the world is all one big divinely orchestrated dramatic show. And it's all the contrasts and all the plays and all of the different characters and the way they present themselves that makes the show interesting. And who created the show? Well, we did, as the one divine spirit. We are the author of the show at the highest level. Now, you've noticed that we always take a topside down approach when we speak to you each week. We take you to that part that is immortal, birthless, deathless, absolutely one with all that is. Immortal, perfect, ever pure, divine, omnipresent spirit. We take that as the real identity that sought to become the many simply to experience the joy of loving relationship and sharing creative adventures. And voila, the one spirit appeared as you and me and everyone. But it's one spirit. That's our point of view that we take each week to gradually find ways that we can remember ourselves back into that, that we can retract the streams of belief and disbelief, and the many ways that we have misidentified in the otherness, and begin to quietly find that place where we are that I am, that I am, that is God. That's the true self, the Atma, the spirit, the soul, as some call it. The authentic you, beyond the body, beyond your thoughts, beyond your feelings, beyond everything, you quietly, simply are present. You're the witness. So chill and don't take this Maya dream, these passing plays of consciousness, so seriously. You will awaken and laugh at some point that you ever bought into any of it. Watch events play out as you would a passing parade, with just as much impersonal detachment. Remember these wonderful statements which are keys to your liberation that you'll find in the Course in Miracles, 365 of them to be exact. But the first and foremost premise, principle, truth, is this. Nothing real is threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Nothing real is threatened. So see how all of your fears and concerns are related to identifying yourself with a physical body, with being a limited human being. Once you realize that you exist quite apart from the physical body, and that you are immortal, divinity itself, you will lose all fear, including fear of death. Complete fearlessness is the sign of one who has awakened to reality beyond the body and worldly events. Unshakable self-confidence is another sign of an awakened one. What self, you might ask? Not your human personality that changes like a weather vane. The self that is eternal, that we've just been talking about, that could be called the I Am, or soul, or spirit, or the Atma. Pick your favorite word, slot it in there. Or your true self, your authentic self. So everything begins anew and is fulfilled with the recognition of who you are and what you are forever. And now is that time for many of you to realize and graduate and never return again to this particular dream. So let's look at it in rather practical ways right now. How to stay sane and happy in insane and unhappy situations? Good question, huh? Well, create your own reality. Yes, you heard me. Create your own reality. You do anyway. You just are not aware that you do. So become aware. Refuse to buy into the common unconscious mass consensus. Just refuse to buy into it. Be disobedient to the nonsense that most people put out there as their reality. Create your own reality. Don't come into agreement with what you don't wish to experience. That's a big key. You might want to put it on a 3x5 card and stick it on your bathroom mirror. Create your own reality. You already do. You're just not aware that you're doing it. Perhaps you've heard the, what will we call it, the revelation imparted through quantum mechanics, that the observer affects the observed. Let me give you an example. Let's say there's a group of scientists that are inquiring into a particular theory. They're testing it out in the laboratory. They're all in one accord. They're all focused on observing. And let's say somebody from the outside comes in that's not part of that crew, and they have doubt, negative thoughts. They may not voice them, but they come in with a consciousness that shifts the whole dynamic of the outcome of that particular experiment. When Jesus rose, resurrected the little girl who had passed away, you may or may not have read this story in the Bible, but before he raised the little girl from the dead, he sent her parents, who were weeping and carrying on, out of the room. Why? Because they would inject that negative disbelief that could have interfered with what he needed to do with that particular soul, which was to call it back into the body, which he did. But be aware in your life that those people and things around you come in sometimes to test. They're aspects of yourself, but they appear as testing because we've just said that nothing from without can affect you. And yet, experientially, it sure seems like things from without affect us, doesn't it? So we have to be aware that our own state of inner certitude and self-confidence and self-realization, when it's solid, will not call forward witnesses that contradict or test that. Once it's solid, you don't need the test. But until you are solid, you're going to have the naysayers come into your environment that say, oh, wow, is this bunch of baloney? It's New Age malarkey. You're not divine. You know, you can't even pay your rent. Who do you think you are? What have you been smoking? You know what I mean? You're going to call these people, these consciousness states, which are your own doubts personified, to come in and test you. So that's why sometimes things from without seem to affect us. They're simply matching an area which is not fully awakened within us yet. Do you get the idea? You call your own tests forward out of your own consciousness, and they appear as the people that push your triggers, that activate your pain body, that make you nuts, that drive you to drink or whatever. But they're manifestations of your own need to test and prove yourself to yourself. So create your own reality, but be aware also that you have always created your own reality and are creating it and sitting within it this very instant. And that you can always rescript, redirect, erase, and make it different if you would like to. You know, it's all up to you. What would you have real? Focus on that. What would you not like to experience? Don't come into agreement with that. Don't come into agreement with things that you don't want to experience. For example, I had a friend the other day that said, it's flu season. I think I'm coming down with the flu. And I said, well, why would you do that? And the person said, oh, well, since I was 17, you know, I always got the flu season. I said, well, don't you think it's time that you broke that pattern? And the person looked at me, it's like, didn't say anything. But you see how we create these stupid patterns and then become victimized by our own buying in to mask ignorance? That's just a simple example. I remember when we had gas rationing here in Los Angeles, so back in the 80s, I think it was. The teacher of many of us, John Roger, said, I refuse to participate in that. I just, you know, refuse to participate in that particular scenario. And he let it go. He didn't explain, but he didn't participate in it either. So be socially disobedient when it comes to agreeing with the way people say things are. They are the way you decide they are. Period. You decide. So we're asking you to question your interpretations. Of course, in Miracles, it says that We give everything the only meaning it has for us. And it will be that to us for as long as we would like it to be. And we can always choose again. So it's a neutral, according to Sai Baba. Creation is wholly neutral. And it becomes to us what we say it is. Remember in the Bible, those of you that have read the Bible, probably not a lot of you, but in the Bible, after everything was created and God looked at it and said it was good, God was pleased with it, he then paraded creation in front of Adam and had him name it, in other words, interpret it. That's a hippopotamus, that's a giraffe, that's a this, that's a that, this is good, this is bad, this is up, this is down, whatever. So the story is that when we bought into the separation and bought into the mind, the belief that we were separate from the all that is, we began to place interpretations upon events and creation. And it became that for us. We placed the limitations, in other words. So it's time to question your interpretations, how you see things. Do you really want to create flu for yourself every time it's fall or spring? Why would you do that? Isn't that kind of stupid? Why would you create something so unpleasant for yourself? What's the payoff? Oh, maybe you get off a few days from work. Maybe that's worth it for you to buy into that so you can stay in bed. But I don't think staying in bed with diarrhea and throwing up and having violent stomach cramps is a way to enjoy being off work, do you? So begin to get into your crazies and reframe, re-choose, rethink, question, and get rid of some of these things that are not serving your highest good and your well-being. Question your thoughts and your negative projections. I have another friend who is already foreseeing death for a condition that's not even been diagnosed yet, a condition that the mind has suggested may be happening to the body. Already she's dead and buried in her mind. Question your thoughts and your negative projections. They're never here now, and they're never aligned with the I am that can never be touched or affected by anything. The Course of Miracles is a whole lesson on these thoughts do not mean anything. These thoughts are showing me a meaningless world, and a meaningless world engenders fear. But God did not create a meaningless world. So if you're not into the Course in Miracles, that would sure save you a lot of time. It's a difficult course in one way, because it's going to reverse everything that you thought was so, and completely give you a different, upside-down understanding of everything. It's going to really mess your belief systems up. But it will absolutely set you free if you stay with it. So it's time that you ask yourself, what if I just made this up? What if I made this whole thing up? And Jesus will agree with you in the Course in Miracles. There's a lesson called, I have invented the world I see. And there you have it in a nutshell. You have created your own reality. You have invented the world you see. And you have interpreted it as good or bad or pleasant or painful or whatever. You have labeled it. So what if you made this all up? You did. You know. You're just not aware you did. You keep trying to find an outer cause to blame, and there is none. There is only your own prior causes set in motion. Do you realize when some statement comes out of your mouth that the entire universe has to align in manifesting that for you? Why? Because you're the uniquely begotten extension of God, or son of God, or daughter of God. Put in your own label here so you feel happy. Bottom line is, you're made in the image and likeness of the Supreme Creator, which means that no word comes out of your mouth and returns without manifestation at some level. You see how you absolutely bind yourself by being unwise in the use of your speech, by being unconscious when you speak. Every single thought and word creates form at some level. It has to, because you're a godling. You're an incarnation of the one creative spirit, so how could you not be creative? It's time you take charge of that mouth, that tongue, that mind, those thoughts. So stop seeking to place blame. Just be quiet and settle down. Quiet your mental projecting and be still. Into the quiet mind, clarity will just naturally appear. Only your rabid mind and thought storms have clouded over your spacious clarity. Do you know that your mind is spacious clarity when you're not filling it with nonsense? It's spacious clarity itself. It's omniscience itself. Be still. Settle down. Find what you can appreciate and enjoy right now. Right now, what can you appreciate and enjoy right now? Quiet down. Notice what is present that you can appreciate and enjoy right now. Just do that and nothing else. Find your happy thoughts. You speak of your happy place, right? We often say, well, that's my happy place. And sometimes we do our happy dance. So now find your happy thoughts and think them. Of course, in Miracles, Jesus has a lesson where he directs us to find the thoughts that we share with God. And they're always thoughts of blessing and of love. He encourages us to find the happy thoughts that we share with God. So be self, capital S, reliant. Depend on your God self, not your human personal imagination, imaginary self. You've never ever been a human person. That's the thing of it. Sai Baba often says, never believe that you're human, that you're just a human being. So often people say, well, I'm only human. No, you're not. That's the biggest lie going. You have never not been God. You have never not been the Atma, the supreme it of itself, the isness, the I am that I am. You have entirely invented your human personal self. based on things people told you, i.e., you were born on such and such a date, I'm your mother, and I'm your father, and you did this when you were growing up, and you learned to walk at this age, and then educational system got a hold of you and began to tell you what the world was like and what society was like and what you had to do to fit in and to survive and on and on and on. And then religion got a hold of you and began to indoctrinate you with fear. Fear of God. Fear of heaven. Fear of hell. Fear of purgatory. Fear of sin. Fear of all this stuff. And most of that was created by people who were not God-realized. They didn't have a clue what they were talking about other than something they read in an ancient book. So you have to learn to seek your own counsel, because if you're buying into a belief system that causes you to hate God, fear God, believe that, oh my heavens, if I don't believe and do it his way, he becomes then the big tyrant in the sky. Well, you know, you've been down that path probably. So depend on the Lord God of your being that dwells in you and is an incarnation of the one supreme self living in you as and expressing through you as your unique flavor, your unique expression. One God, but all these many flavors, these many expressions. So be God self-reliant. Keep space around you on a practical level. Keep space around you when you drive. And how you arrange your life. Give yourself space to be yourself. Chart your own course. Not out of ego, not out of arrogance, not out of any of false independence, no. Out of self-owning. Own your own God right to be. To live your life without giving in to the pressures of others, their demands and expectations. Keep yourself free. Keep yourself free. It's up to you to investigate, sample, experiment, and go with a particular whatever for a bit and see if it works for you. If it doesn't work for you, change courses. You know, you can't always change your mind. You can choose again. You can select another path, another course. But remember, you're here to live your life for your highest advancement and good. And whatever adds to your well-being is working for you. If it really adds to your well-being, it will increase the well-being of those around you as well. So you see, everyone benefits. When you're true to yourself, when you take care of yourself, when you foster your well-being, you're a blessing to everybody around you. Nobody has a problem with you, and you don't have a problem with anyone else either, because you're focused on taking care of yourself. And then you don't create problems for others. And that certainly adds to the well-being of the world, society, and others. So tend to your own happiness. Happy people don't create problems for others. Happy people don't go out and blow other people up. Happy people don't decapitate. Happy people don't start wars. Happy people don't threaten to destroy other people. Happy people don't go and bomb and create instruments of death. Happy people just don't do those things. The people that do those things are caught up in the negative ego of fear and the need to protect and defend and argue their case and push their ideology and try to force other people to come into alignment with their way. That's an old paradigm. So tend to your own happiness and don't be part of that old paradigm. Get out of it. So let me ask you, do you take care of yourself? Now, what does that mean? Golly, I think more than anything else, John Roger, my teacher, every time he saw me 40 years ago, he would say, take care of yourself. Now, I wish for heaven's sakes he would have told me what that meant very clearly, because I didn't have a clue what that meant. At that point, I was trying to be the perfect yogi. You know, ignore the body, bend it to your will, make it be a vegetarian, make it do this, make it do that, make it sit for hours in meditation. I was very harsh and hard on myself. So how do you take care of yourself? Well, now I have, 45 years later, I have a good idea. And it's real practical. First of all, you need to make your way in this world. You have to take care of your personal needs and physical maintenance, so you're not a problem and a burden on other people. That's your first responsibility. Make your way in this world. And for most of us, that involves working to make a living. That doesn't mean that you can't be spiritual and do that. You know, when I walked off of the security of having a wonderful job and a weekly paycheck and all of my insurance and everything intact, I was told to start doing this work full time. You find out real soon how to make your way in this world and create your own reality if that's the choice of making this thing work for you or having to go back to the job and work for someone else's dream, someone else's benefit, someone else's vision, somebody else's project, somebody else's belief system, but not creating your own reality. I was forced to create my own reality at a time when there was no reality, even closely resembling this work that I'm doing today and have done for many, many years. When I started, there was none of this available. Nobody was doing this. I had to create out of my own inner directive, my own inner, what would you say, inspiration, the means to make my way in the world. And thank God it worked. I never had to ever again work at a regular job with a regular paycheck. But boy, do you have to be clever. And I worked my tail off keeping everything going. You know, I really put in the effort to make my work support my well-being and those with whom I was working and who traveled with me. So for young people, making your way in this world means getting an education that can prepare you for entering society as a contributing participant. You don't exit society just because you're enlightened. You live an enlightened, aware life in society, and thereby you bring transformation and change to the vibration of the environment and reality that you are projecting out from your mind as the world. The world is in your mind. But part of the mastery of the self is to always be a contributing participant in your creation, not attached, but a participant that has something to contribute. So we're all here to contribute in some way to life. Find out what you have to contribute and work it. Participate fully in your life, wherever you find yourself. And give you know, whatever you have to offer, be busy extending, offering, gifting it, sharing it. And learn early as possible how to manage your time, your finances, your emotions, and your mind. And some people, their body. Learn how to manage your energy so that you're not creating problems and disturbance for other people. So a healthy life is one of balance, without creating unnecessary stress for yourself and others. Unnecessary stress is created whenever you don't take care of yourself. For example, our health and well-being decline when we don't eat properly, when we don't get sufficient sleep, when we don't live within our financial means, or when we become addicted to destructive habits or substances, our quality of life then declines. So our quality of life depends entirely upon our self-elected choices, how we choose to live, how we think, how we behave, and definitely what we believe, what we choose to hang out with in our mind. So it's not necessary to live as if you were under a rock. In other words, it's important to keep aware of what's going on around you. And be aware that impermanence and change is the very nature of the natural world in these lower dimensions. So pay attention to these times that we are currently living in. They are times of rapid, even shockingly abrupt changes on every level of life. So it's no longer business as usual. And it's very, very practical to know that this is the new norm. It's going to be the new normal. So don't keep waiting for things to return to normal. In fact, many of us can't even remember what that old normal even felt like. I know I can't. So as someone rather practically said, be prepared for the worst, hope for the best, and aim down the middle. But always know that where your life has openings to freedom, always be aware of where the path of freedom is in your life. Where is that ray of light where you can get free? And that applies to every level. Always follow the light. Always follow the light. But practically speaking, know where your exits are. When you're in a crowd in a building, or where you could need to go if you had to evacuate, for example, as many did recently, always look for the way that you can keep yourself free. And here it pays to cultivate genuine, trustworthy friends and relationships, because we will need to work together to assist one another during these times, as it's becoming very obvious. Now, what's going on in the world right now is really not complicated. We are simply witnessing two predominant mindsets vying for predominance. That's all that's going on. One mindset seeks to preserve the past and to return to the way things were. And the other seeks to advance beyond where we've been and explore new ways and means. That's all that's going on. And probably most of us are finding ourselves somewhere in between, excuse me, where we're a little bit in both mindsets. But becoming fanatically locked into either mindset is not going to work. And this accounts for most of the violence that we're witnessing in the world today. What is most needed is calm consideration and measured response. Mediation, diplomacy, finding common ground and mutual points of agreement, communication, and calm interaction and dialogue. That's what we need internationally and nationally and personally. So in the midst of the shift of the ages in consciousness, from the sixth ray, which governed the Piscean age, into the seventh ray, which governs the Aquarian age. In other words, the old paradigm and the new paradigm. The sixth ray was one of tremendous ideology and religiosity and setting, you know, a very strict and rigid protocol of, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And the Aquarian Age is one of unification, it's one of community, it's one of mass communication internationally, and it's co-participating and joining together, and you know, new thought, new ideas, we're conquering the mental realm, the realm of the air, even as in the Piscean Age we conquered the oceans and the great seafaring. You know, was perfected during the Piscean Age. So we have people who have incarnated, who have primarily been part of the Piscean Age, and who are here now to complete and finish business and move on to whatever is next. And then we have those who strictly came in to uproot, to blow the whistle, to reveal all the things that are not working, and to displace the old methods, and to bring in radical reforms. Many of these are your social activists and your protesters and, you know, those who are the, you know, agitating change. And then we have those who have no connection with the old paradigm, many of the young children coming in. They don't have any connection with the uprooting or the revealing and the protesting, but they're here strictly to introduce and implement the new approaches, to bring in the new inventions, and to create the new forms for the new era. These wonderful young people that are, some of them are still children, and they're so brilliant. And they're bringing in these wonderful new inventions because they have no sense whatsoever of limitation. And they're just, from their early childhood, beginning to do this. And then we have those on the planet who seem to be the bridges that connect both the old and the new so that there can be a facilitation of a smoother transition. So are you aware of where you stand in this particular, what we've just shared? Where is your fit in all of this? When I ask myself that, it's obvious to me that I'm a bridge and a mediator. And that's something that I've done, you know, since earliest childhood myself. So there are several things that are constant certainties that we will all experience. First and foremost is constant change. Then we will all and are all ready and have been experiencing varied plays of consciousness, all kinds of experiences. We will see the landing of the spaceships. We will colonize other planets. This has already been started, unbeknownst to most people. We will go out into the greater solar system, galaxy, ultimately universe, and we will meet the star nations and our relatives that are part of other civilizations in other worlds. This is coming very soon. And we will all move into deeper realization because people are waking up all over the planet. We're awakening. We are in the process of entering into ever greater enlightenment as a species. And we're all destined to fulfillment. Every single one of us is going to awaken to our immortal, ongoing life. So know that change predominates everywhere in the realms beneath the soul realm. Every relationship, situation, place in which we presently find ourselves will change. Change is one constant we all have in common. And everything in our life has a time, a cycle, a season, which will move on to the next. So do enjoy what is present in your life right now. And remember that nothing in these lower worlds of time, space, is forever. Life here in the realms of time, space is meant for experiencing the countless plays of consciousness and energy, manifestation and destruction, of joys and sorrows, pleasures and pains, of good times and bad times, of highs and lows. We as soul create these particular dynamics to test our own equanimity and our own self-realization. So we do this to ourselves so that we can awaken our full godhood and God potential. So most of all, life is about discovering and consciously reconnecting with that I am self, that eternal isness that is changeless and eternal. That is the forever home, the forever love, the forever beloved that we're all seeking in the world. And it's already been within us as a state all this while that is awaiting our recognition. See, enlightenment is not a change. It's simply a recognition of who and what you've always been. So we will all recognize that place within when we become still and quiet enough mentally and emotionally. Then only will we truly be present enough to truly participate and enjoy life, however it shows up. You know, no one enjoys life more than an enlightened person. No one. No one enjoys life more, laughs more, has a greater sense of well-being, regardless of the state of the body, regardless of the environment. You know, they live at a level above concern with the body and the world and what happens within the body and within the world. Those are not, let's say they don't show up on the radar of their bliss. And bliss is quite simply living consciously in your God self as the divine presence itself, simply quiet and present, and watching events like you would watch a parade. You just enjoy the passing show. And that becomes the reality, where you're simply present as love and witnessing and enjoy the show. So I hope these rather radical thoughts that you don't usually hear on a radio show, I hope they lessen the sense of insanity and craziness that so many people are caught up in now. And you needn't be. I'm speaking to those of you who are awakening and awakened ones. And you need to learn how to live beyond appearances in that self which changes not. And we're doing that together. We're doing that together. And that's another very heartening thought, is that you're not alone. There's a lot of us that have chosen this incarnation to be our last obligatory one on planet Earth. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on IQ. Excuse me. And from the Lord God of your being, speak to the elementals of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether, and bless them. Peace be still. I bless you. May you be happy. May you fulfill your proper cycles and your proper rhythms throughout nature. May all sentient beings have increasing well-being, increasing happiness, increasing enlightenment, and may all find the wholeness of the self that forever is that divine I am. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.